Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. I hope you're having a great Wednesday. As for a lot of Saskatchewan, some kids off school today. A little early dismissal, and away we go on another Sasky summer.
Probably keep an eye out on the roads, right? Because kids are excited and
riding their bikes, going to the parks.
Less attention than they normally would.
Curfews when the street light turns on, kids. Was it yesterday we were talking about that? That was the best curfew. Especially a little like north southern Saskatchewan. Maybe it's not that way, but in Edmonton, Saskatoon, PA, that's like an 11 o'clock curfew some nights.
A double take with Darrell Davis.
He's our Hall of Famer. Canadian Football and Regina Sports Hall of Fame reporter Darrell Davis.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, Darrell?
Just start with Luke Wilson, shall we? Hot garbage was that game on Friday, apparently. Mm-hmm. Junk football was that final 2 minutes, apparently. Mm-hmm. Darrell, are you an old school numpty?
Make up words. A numpty. Okay. Is that spelled right?
No, that's not a made up word. Sarah Mills educated us today.
Yes, she did.
That's a very British thing that her dad would once sometimes call her a numpty if she did something wrong.
It's a slang for like a dummy. Right?
I'd probably be a numpty if I paid any attention to what he said, then I'd be a numpty. I've heard about it, and people have told me. I'm not on Twitter that much, that much anymore. I don't want to support Elon Musk in any way, shape, or form, so I don't go on it. But somebody's saying, do it. So I went on and checked. There's a few local podcasters he doesn't like, so he's probably right on a few things. But there's a lot of things that he's wrong about. He's certainly allowed to have his opinion. We all do. Jamie, you made the best point, and it's the one I was listening to the other day. The problem with the CFL is that we all have a way to fix it. We all have a suggestion. Even me, move the goalpost back. We all come up with these ideas and say, we got to fix the CFL. Well, it's not really broken. It seems to be trending upwards a little bit. I love watching the CFL, and if there are things that can help it, good. I'm not sure that Luke Wilson's suggestions are worthwhile, though.
He hasn't suggested much other than practice more and have more coaches and get rid of the coaches cap. That's about it. Better preparation.
Well, then pay them what they pay the NFL players and coaches and then go ahead and do it. But this way they're getting paid for the amount of work they put in, and they're free to put in more work if they want. I think what they've done with the caps are great things for the CFL. It's allowed the CFL to exist. I know people say, oh, have more coaches. More coaches don't necessarily make the game better. It costs more, and these teams can't afford what they would have to pay. Remember when Chris Jones brought in everybody he ever knew to help coach the football team? The Riders spent a lot more money than they had to. They put in a cap. Good idea. So he doesn't.
But I don't remember winning a Grey Cup with Chris Jones having all those coaches.
Exactly. So it doesn't make much difference, right? He's an NFL-trained guy. Credit for his career. Good for him. Credit for all the clicks he's seeking and finding and getting on.
No. He says he's quite open. He's not looking for clicks.
And do you believe that?
No.
No, not for 100%.
Not 100%.
Right?
Yeah. The one thing that bothered me about it as well was he had all these outs. He had all these off ramps, every comment he made, but it's not about this. And then he would, but it's not about this. And don't bring this up. It is fairly obvious that you are comparing the CFL to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And you prefer the NFL game to the CFL game. Now just say it out loud.
Yeah, why not?
And that was what that tweet was. And my opinion was, oh, listen, this game is very different than the NFL and I'm not used to it. Rather than just get used to the CFL game and then figure out what it is that's good about the game and then have an opinion on it, he ripped it after his, second or third time on the sideline. Reporting on the CFL.
And he feuds with everybody who disagrees with him. What? Okay, that'll get you attention. So he's made a name for himself. Good for him. Well done. That's welcome to the media world. And now suddenly has a place that people think of, and they think of Luke Wilson. So he's done what he wanted to do.
I actually agreed with what Bo Levi Mitchell said the other day. Like Bo nailed it when he was asked about, what did you think of him calling it, trash football and complaining about the short yardage?
I mean, Luke, welcome to the CFL. There's going to be quarterbacks decent games. There's going to be penalties. But you tell me a fan that was, at the game or watching on TV and the game comes down to the last second when it's tied and has a 99-yard return for a touchdown and tell me it's not exciting. That's, I don't know, for him to decide, I guess.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Good for Bo. That's why Bo's going to be a good commentator.
Oh, I shouldn't say can't wait for him to be a commentator, but you know, he's still got years left in his career on the field.
He did get people talking.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Absolutely, Locker. Yeah. And every time we talk about it, it's good for the league. And we all love the CFL. Yes, we have suggestions, and that's why we like it. So obviously Luke is liking it more. He sees things that he wants changed. We all want some things changed in the game. Good for him. Get people talking about it. Let's move on. He's not in charge of the game.
Take with the Double D, Darryl Davis. I do want to get your opinion on Trevor Harris's injury. Should they just be cautious and just go with Jake Mayer against BC?
That's why they developed this quarterback room, right? They've got the top three. Tommy Stevens is unstoppable. Every time you're second and seven, just give him the ball, right? That's short yardage. That's a second short yardage play now, the way he runs. You heard he didn't like Tugboat especially?
I'm trying to go. I'm trying to work Torpedo in now.
No,
Tommy Torpedo.
No, Tommy Tsunami.
Tsunami, okay. No. He's totally unstoppable. A great addition. We said that when they signed him. What a great addition. He's totally unstoppable in short yardage. Seems like an interesting guy when you chat with him. And they're set up. They activate Jack Cohn. Okay, fine. I think that they could give Trevor Harris a rest. He's won his last seven starts, Trevor Harris has, right? Regular season starts anyway. So give him a rest. Because he's going to need a rest somewhere along the season anyway. He was sick last game.
They got a bye coming up.
He got a bye, absolutely. He gets another week. He didn't play great the last game. He was okay against Toronto. You know, the numbers were okay, but he didn't really hurt the team too badly. So, yeah, give him a little break and let him recuperate and bring him back to the second part of the extended BC back-to-back games.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, we're going to get Daryl's take on Don Cherry. Should he be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters ahead of free agent frenzy, as well as it's a Double Take with Double D, Darryl Davis, here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. A Double Take with Double D, Darryl Davis, here on the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you as Tim Cherry and Don Cherry. It sounds like that was it for the podcast, even though Don told Joe Warmington he plans on coming back. But Tim was like, I think that might have been the last one for the 91-year-old. We've been debating who goes on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters, commentators.
Oh, boy.
We have quite the list.
We've narrowed it
People
down.
People want a bigger mountain than just four, that's sure.
But we've definitely got Foster Hewitt on there, and we got Bob Cole.
Not Foster Hewitt, man. That's Don Hewitt, the local guy. What a jerk Foster Hewitt is.
Well, really? It wasn't about a jerk. It's about who's the best.
If you're going to pick somebody from that era, pick Danny Gallivan. Danny Gallivan goes on mine. That's who I grew up listening to. But another one I grew up listening to, my dad was a scout when the St. Louis Blues started, right? And you could hear, back in the old days, you could hear AM radio stations carried in KMOX in St. Louis was the big station. And I took road trips with my dad on scouting trips. And actually, the car had St. Louis Blues decals on the side of it. So I think we only had one station at night. Listen to KMOX. Dan Kelly was one of the most legendary play-by-play guys. When I phoned Chris Cuthbert the other day, who also would go on my list, by the way, because we're buddies and we grew up together in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, throwing Jerry James out of games. we go way back. Chris Cuthbert would be on it, but we talked about Dan Kelly, and that he was one of Chris Cuthbert's idols. So I absolutely put him on. If you want another American, then I think of Al Michaels just because of the 1980 call. He can do every sport, but if you want an analyst, Don Cherry was okay. He was my dad's roommate with the Hershey Bears, by the way, so I understand where Don Cherry's coming from, but I loved Harry Neal, and I know you guys have talked about him.
I just thought
he had the driest sense of humor. Yeah. He would say something, and you'd sit there for a second and figure it out afterwards, and start laughing, and gone on.
Somewhere. Did they get into it on the air?
I don't think it was on the air. I think probably after. Harry was that type of guy, but he was just the funniest guy, and you had to really pay attention. That's the best.
I love those two. Those were my guys. Yeah. Bob Cole and Harry. Harry really
was it Dan Kelly? Is this Dan Kelly?
Where to Bucknotto? Bobby Orr behind the net to Sanderson. Orr!
There's Dan Kelly, 1970 Stanley Cup final call.
A lot of people didn't like Harry.
Well, they didn't understand him, right? Because Harry was above the average crowd, right? You have to kind of think that way.
So we've even had some texts. Well, Harry's come in, but we've even had some texts. Oh, please, not Harry!
Yeah. He was just too good. I love those guys.
I loved them. I thought they were hilarious.
Thanks for the Dan Kelly piece. That was a good throwback.
We were battling, and it's an interesting battle to have about the legacy of Don Cherry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ended in controversy, but one of the most colorful, literally, with his suits.
Yep.
And I think he impacted the stop signs on the back of jerseys, like all the military, the police. There was no bigger champion than Don Cherry.
Mm-hmm. Made a lot of people proud to be a Canadian.
Absolutely.
And you know, especially in a world that's, he saw hockey disappearing, losing all its Canadian talent, right? And was critical of that. And it's made the game better by adding players from Sweden, Finland, Russia, United States, obviously it has. And he fought back for that all the time because he thought the Canadians were the toughest. The heart and soul of the Canadian game is still Canadian players.
Still Canadian,
and
yeah.
He was a heart and soul type of guy, right? He wasn't mm-hmm. a great player. He had a cup of coffee in the NHL.
I think he had one game, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, exactly. Was a pretty good coach, not a bad coach.
His record was so-so mm-hmm. as behind the bench.
Yeah, but he was all – well, with Boston, he was pretty good. Made it to the Stanley Cup final, didn't he?
Too many men.
Yeah, too many men. Yeah, that was the problem. And then he got stuck in Colorado, and they were a pretty bad hockey team. So, was he good for the game? Yes.
He was a character.
Yes. Did he deserve what he got? Probably not. But was he past his time? And here I am, an old guy, thinking, no, he wasn't past. Was he past his time? Maybe. You know, he was just getting a little outdated and archaic, and you have to kind of stay with it. And I guess it was interesting to have him talking about the old days. I'm talking about Dan Kelly in the old mm-hmm. days. Sometimes you throw back, but you can't live there forever. And I think Don Cherry did a little bit, refused to move forward a little bit with the times.
Well, and his stubbornness is... That ended his career.
Part of the beauty of who he was, too.
And you don't want him to. You kind of want. I always thought that it should have ended another way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I thought there would be some kind of a reconciliation.
People are mad at Ron McLean for throwing. I don't think he threw him under the bus. Ron McLean realized what happened and said, "I can't support that," and he can't.
His apology for Don was a huge mistake.
That was his mistake.
Yeah.
He tried to apologize for Don. It's mm-hmm. like, no, Ron just.
Yeah,
own your side of it and let Don speak for himself.
Isn't it amazing?
Instead of try to speak for him.
And it's still a heated subject when you talk to hockey fans everywhere, right?
Oh, on the text line.
I'm sure that's how it works.
We got 500 texts today.
Of course.
And half of them, are about Don.
Real quick, Daryl Davis, we want your opinion on the Florida Panthers. And the parties that continue.
So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one.
So, are the Panthers crossing the line? That's Sam Bennett.
Oh, jeez. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, you know, the drunken debauchery might be a little overboard. But you know, Tom Brady almost threw the Super Bowl trophy into the lake, right? So they do silly things.
The partying thing, I'll let you get away with that. It's
demeaning your opponent. Yeah, exactly. That's a little much, especially in public, right? You know, the respect that they show each other in the handshake line, let that be kind of the last parting view of you
Walk
see
away.
Them. Yeah, and if you have something to say about a guy you don't like on the other team, use it in your locker room or use it when the reporter's standing there so that it's not just hidden away in some nightclub somewhere. But they might have overdone it a little bit. But
They're showing their maturity, I think.
Yeah, maybe their immaturity, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or lack of, That's better.
Very different vibe coming from the OKC Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's already back home in Hamilton.
We're
training.
Family guy. Good for him.
I think it's so cool that SGA goes back to Hamilton to train.
Outstanding player in the NBA. Outstanding player in the NHL, Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
MLB World Series MVP.
World Series MLB.
Freddie.
Right? Yeah.
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
So
and our flag football team beat America's flag football team.
Yeah, go Canada. Here we go. Don Cherry would be proud of that, wouldn't he?
There we go. Keeping track of the severe thunderstorm warnings around Saskatchewan right now. Now up around Lloydminster area, popping up some severe thunderstorm warnings. Still a severe thunderstorm warning near Hepburn, just north and west of Hepburn, west of Rosthern. Right now, Blaine Lake area under a severe thunderstorm warning. And we'll keep you up to date through the afternoon. Everywhere else is under severe thunderstorm watches for most of central and western Saskatchewan. Of course, next week, it is free agent frenzy in the National Hockey League, and the biggest name on the list, Locker, it's Mitch Marner.
It's yes, Mitch.
There's Sam Bennett. Yes, there's Brad Marchand.
It's going to be all about Mitch.
But Mitch Marner's the biggest name. Luke Fox is a Maple Leafs insider, Sportsnet. The big question in Leafs Nation, what's up with Marner? Where's he going to play?
It is a huge question. Well, not just Leafland, the whole NHL, I think, is wondering where he's going to end up. The hot city right now is Vegas. The Golden Knights seem to be on every big guy that comes available in free agency or trade, basically since their existence. So it's no surprise, really, that they would have their fingers in this pot as well. But they're going to have competition. The LA Kings are interested. The Carolina Hurricanes are interested. You know, I think there's lots of rebuilding teams that would love to take a crack at Marner, like Chicago. Imagine him with Bedard, or Utah or Seattle. They need some star power. But Marner's positioned himself where he can move on from the Leafs, but also join a team that, you know, should make the playoffs and considers themselves a contender. So that's why a team like Vegas or LA, they're kind of near the top of the list. That there's also been murmurs about Dallas, but I don't know how they make that work cap-wise. They would have to trade someone away.
Is it fair what is happening to Marner? You hear people say, I'll give you one example. Oh, he's just going to go for whoever gives him the most money. Are you surprised by that?
I'm actually not convinced that's true. Am I surprised that, you know, in this day and age where there's a million podcasts and everyone has a social media account, that there's a lot of opinion out there? No, I'm not surprised at all. Or that people, you know, feel comfortable making the leap and can get it, you know, feel comfortable getting inside an athlete's head and make assumptions. I'm not surprised people do that. I don't know that necessarily he's just going for top dollar, because if all he is going for top dollar, we might be hearing teams like Chicago or San Jose or teams that are very far away from being ready to win. I think he wants a mix. He wants a nice juicy raise. I don't think the money is the be all end all. My sense is that he would prefer not to join another Canadian team, and that's not a knock on Canada. I think it's the scrutiny that came with his last stop in Canada, and I think he wants to go to a city where he's not recognized every time he walks down the street, that maybe hockey is a bit lower profile. So, you know, Vegas and LA, they both have tons of money, same with Dallas, but it's not like
you're not going to hide in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to. Well, the people who go to Vegas, it's a mix of tourists and there's people who don't care about hockey. They have a very fervent fan base that love their Golden Knights. But you can stay still kind of low key. Like, all the players live out in Summerlin in this beautiful suburb and they have a nice life. Yeah, you're famous, but you're not. You're not scrutinized the way you are in a hockey town with more history. The Vegas Golden Knights fan is very different than a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. They are just all unconditional love. Root for the home team. They're not, you know, getting too into the weeds about, well, this guy makes this much and, you know, this, you know, the team, you know, disappointed, so we're really on them. It's just unbridled support. You know, I've covered many playoff games in that town. It's a different type of fan. And I think he wants a refreshing change of scenery, is my understanding. And he certainly wants a raise, but I don't know if it's just show me the most money and I'm signing there. I don't think it's that clear and simple. He's also raising he just became a dad. He wants to find a neighborhood that it's like, okay, I think I can raise a family here.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Do you take issue with that, Luke? Like, we don't want to live anybody's life, but when I hear players go, I just want to play hockey where nobody knows who I am. I'm like, really? Like, don't he was part of something that could have been real special in Toronto. That's what baffles me, that he has no interest, or it seems like he's got no interest in staying with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think it's different though, Jimmy. Yeah. I think they get death threats, don't they, Luke? Like their family.
They have got I don't know for sure death threats, but they have gotten some nasty stuff on social media. For sure. And that happens elsewhere. Like, you know, that happened to Stuart Skinner in Edmonton last year. But you don't know how serious they are. But people, you know, under the cloak of anonymity on social media, they feel comfortable saying anything. And it affects some families more, or some players more than it does others. Some guys are able to brush it off and move on. I don't think Marner's trying to be anonymous. If he was trying to be anonymous, he wouldn't do all these commercials that he does. I think he does like a little bit of public love, right? I don't think he's going to try and be hidden. I just think the relationship between him and this city, or a segment of this city in Toronto, has fractured to the point where I think it would benefit both sides to start fresh. And that doesn't even necessarily mean Leafs are going to be better off without him. I think they're going to have a hard time replacing a 100-point guy who plays smart defense and gets them into the playoffs every single season. It's going to be a real challenge here. But, you know, the relationship is just too fractured. There's sore feelings on both sides. He feels a little hard done by, or that's the sense. And, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing. And I actually think, you know, we could see a renewed Mitch Marner that even sets another career high in points and really thrives with just sometimes we all need a clean start, a new job, you know? And I think he's reached that point.
Luke, out of the list of UFAs, who do you think is the best fit for the Leafs? I mean, taking into consideration that anybody who ends up with any cachet, Leaf fans are like, that's a perfect fit for Toronto. Who do you think is a good fit?
I think Sam Bennett would be awesome. It doesn't sound like he's going to leave.
No.
You know, he's out partying in South Florida saying that he's staying. He's not leaving. I don't know how many cocktails he had before he announced that. So the sense is he's going to re-sign in Florida and doesn't want to, you know, come to Toronto. But on paper, right now, he's a pending UFA. The Leafs need centerman. I think he'd be a fantastic fit. Brad Treliving is also trying to change the DNA of this team. And bringing in a guy like Brad Marchand, I don't know if there's a single guy available that could change your DNA more than him. You know, he's very loud, very impactful, both on and off the ice. He would really shake up that room. He just proved in the Panthers' run to the Cup that he still has some juice in those 37-year-old legs, can still produce. And the Leafs' left side is a wasteland once you get beyond Matthew Nyes, who also needs a new contract. They need left wingers, and they need a fresh personality to jolt that room. He'd be a perfect fit. I know they have strong interest in him. But much like Bennett, Marchand might just stay. He loves it there. So it sounds like the guys, if they are going to stay in Florida, they'll probably take a little bit less. If they come to Toronto or elsewhere, that number goes up.
I want Brad to go to Toronto.
That
so
would
bad.
Be hard, Luke.
Imagine.
That would
imagine.
Be hard to
I
watch.
I want that to happen. Why is that so hard to watch?
That would be like just... That would be hard to look at, to
I'd,
go, wait
I'd help him
a
pack.
Second. With all the history between Boston and Toronto in those playoffs, they have Brad Marchand in a Leafs jersey. Luke, am I wrong? Would Leaf fans actually like jump up and down going, yes, this is how you change the DNA? Or are they, you know, grin and bear it a little bit?
Ask Panthers fans. Them and the Bruins were bitter rivals. They jumped on board Brad Marchand like full bore. And I could see Leaf fans doing the same thing. He's a charismatic guy. He's a winner. He's a Team Canada guy. So Leaf fans already got a little taste of cheering for him at the World Cup and at Four Nations. He grew up a Leafs fan. I think they'd get on board. I think that, and I think the fan base is at a point where they're so desperate for something different,
try anything,
something new, that he would win. I think he would win fans over. I really do. I know it'd be funny because he's actually been on five different teams that eliminated the Leafs in the playoffs. And it's kind of like, if we can't beat him, maybe he'll join us. They want him.
That is Luke Fox of Sportsnet, Leafs insider, on how Toronto looks going into free agency. We're going to talk about the Oilers coming up later this week as well. Of course, free agent frenzy next Tuesday. NHL draft coming up later in the week on Friday. We're going to get to chat with Craig Button on how he looks at the top of the draft with a couple of Saskatchewanians highly ranked, including Saskatoon's Roger McQueen. But coming up next, it's Champs and Chumps. From a bad fan to some loose junk on the racetrack. Next, yeah, on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. The chump goes to a 22-year-old baseball fan in Chicago, right field, who has now been banned for all of Major League Baseball for life. This fan was heckling Arizona Diamondbacks' Ketel Marte about his dead mother.
Yeah.
It left Marte in tears. His mother died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic.
Good Lord, what are you
doing?
In
2017.
What are you doing? And, like, he should not be allowed outdoors. Like,
so
don't let him into any ballpark. I don't care if it's a major league ballpark. Or
Marte could hear it. He was emotionally. His teammates were trying to
console him.
He's in tears. The dugout is like pointing, get this guy out of there. They tracked him down. 22-year-old banned for life from every major league baseball diamond.
Good. You know what? Major Leagues is pretty good at that. When something goes sideways, they're quick to respond to that. That's a strong move. They should almost be our champs. But we have a better champ.
This champ was brought to our attention from Sarah Mills earlier today. She's like, did you guys see this story? Chris Robinson is a 400-meter hurdler.
Runs for the U.S.
in Ostrava. Ran a season best and won the race 48.05 seconds today. You're probably like, so what? He forgot to put on his underwear. So his junk was flopping during the race. He's doing the hurdles and he's trying to like hide his manhood. Well, he ran a season best. 48.05.
It was really flopping.
Won
around.
The rest race.
Yeah. Do you remember the guy that did the pole vault?
Yeah.
You remember he got an underwear sponsor right away. He was French, wasn't he, or something? And he got like a French company that makes underwear. I'm telling you, this guy needs an underwear deal. Maybe that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get an endorsement.
He might have got one, but Chris Robinson is our champ today here on the Green Zone.